It's a good little poem. You look into it more, the idea that the Christ spirit is inherent in the cosmos, that it's a cosmic thing. And it has nothing to do with whether you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic or a Protestant. It's true in all those churches. It is really based on the conception of a cosmic Christ spirit that returns into the world after a long, hard winter. I once, when I was reciting this at a church, to a picked group of students and to a young minister, I made the remark that I thought the Christ spirit was inherent in the cosmos. It wasn't something that happened 2,000 years ago and never again. That it's in the cosmos. And he said to me, the preacher, young preacher, said, what makes you say that? He was pretty modern, you know, and sophisticated. What makes you say that? I said, well, in spite of all the cruelties, I think it's true, the cruelties that you see in the world and the brutalities, it's here. And he said, well, what makes you think so? And I said, well, there are a good many things, but one thing is this, take a little animal before it learns fear, a little animal, anything that lives, before it learns fear, be kind to it. Pet it, tell it what a lovely little thing it is so that it'll feel that you love it. And it will overflow with love. Where do you think that comes from? From the canned food that you gave it? It's inherent, and it can be brought out or driven back. You know, I have good luck with churches. I have good luck. They don't object to me. Catholics don't object to me. They're good friends of mine. Here recently, we went to visit the daughter of my old pal, John. She's a nun. And the Mother Superior was a beautiful woman, beautiful. And I had a talk with her, and I found she knew all my work. I asked her which she liked best. She said, the Song of the Indian Wars. I said, lady, if you weren't a nun, I'd kiss you. She said, we'll leave that for heaven. Think that a nun, you know, would like the Song of the Indian Wars most. Of course, it's the pity in it. It's the pity of, the theme is the pity of it all and the glory of men, both sides, courageous, you know. Neither right and neither wrong, but mistaken. Oh, who can be a stranger to what has come to pass? This is it, the pity of the manger is mighty in the grass. Somebody asked me, what do you mean by that? This managing editor saw me on the street. He said, that was a good poem. Evidently people liked it. He said, but there's a line in it that's too highbrow for me. Goes over my head. He sat and I said, well, which is the offending line? He said, you say the pity of the manger is mighty in the grass. Now, what do you mean? I said, well, I'll tell you. I never explain my poetry. But I'll tell you how you can get that line explained to you. You go out on the high plains of Wyoming early in the springtime when the snow is beginning to wither around the edges of the drifts. And at the edges of the drifts, some bunches of green grass are coming on. And for each bunch of green grass, there are two starved cows. Take one of those starved cows aside, read the line to her, and she will explain. The pity of the manger is mighty in the grass. The pity of Christ is in that grass. The pity of the manger is mighty in the grass. I said, she'll tell you.